This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Thanks. DCR.
You know how you call Bart and Han the Pirates? Well, not only are they stealing me to do the show today on KJZ, but they're also stealing an element of our show today. And I just felt like I should prepare you guys for it.
What are they stealing?
They are stealing CMT. Do you want me to boycott? I will absolutely boycott the segment.
I think he has to participate, Dave.
Really?
They'll do anything. You know what they have at 8:30 this morning? Stump Scott.
This is DCR.
You know how KJZ is ending the show today, by the way? Four stars of the day. And then Rule 77.
What is Rule 77?
No excuses. Steal everyone's material.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I can't believe we're living in a world where it's just okay to take every bit from everybody else.
Just do whatever you want.
Like a comedian. Just take somebody else's funny bits.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, again, who knows? Listen, I hate every second of it. Canty's gone. Now they're stealing segments. There's nothing. What's our recourse, though? What are we going to do?
We should sue them. Let's get Andrew M. Cohen on the phone.
Nice.
Let's sue them.
Nice. I heard he knows people.
We should start trademarking our segments, by the way. Make it our intellectual
property. I'm not opposed to that.
What?
I'm not opposed to that. I mean, there was another show that sold Price is Right, too, the day after we did it. Stolen.
Yep. That happened. That actually happened.
I think when we come up with good bits, we should trademark it. And if you would like to use it, you can pay us a small nominal fee.
I actually heard, too, next week they're going to have Alan and Bart hanging around outside Diana Rossini's house, lurking.
Lurking?
What? Diana, why? I have been lurking. You know, we're making fun of other people. We were having fun. We were making fun of other people. I felt part of the group, and then you had to go there?
I wasn't involved in that, Dave.
You were
that
not.
Was all Rick DiPietro.
You were
that
not.
Was, I had nothing to do with
I
that.
I know. Let me make a note. Hang on. 4,258 DiPietro. Okay. All right, 800-919-3776. Let's take a call or two on what's going on with the Mets and what happened with their opening day home opener yesterday at Citi Field. Then we'll hear from Charles Oakley, which I think will surprise both of you in just a moment. Let's go to Gil in Newburgh. Gil, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Big listener of you guys every morning. My question is, why can the Empire can't get any help there? Because if a foul ball is off the tip of his toe and one of the other Empires see it, they'll call it a foul ball. So if one of the other Empires saw that he clearly stuck out his elbow, why can't they help him out? Or they just didn't want to help him out
because
they didn't want to get involved.
I think they can. I think they chose not to.
Well, no, they all came together and talked about it. And then they went to, I mean, I guess there's no one that had seen what happened that wanted to overrule the call. So they went to the replay, and when you go to replay, the only thing that they can review is whether or not Conforto got hit by the pitch.
Oh, he got hit by the pitch.
No, I think we all realize that.
But he stopped, the umpire behind home plate stopped in midstream right when he was ringing the guy up and just reacted to what Conforto did in the batter's box and then told him to take the base. I think he realized after he looked at the replay that he screwed up and that he determined the outcome of the game and he made the wrong call in doing so.
Bet you he didn't sleep well last night.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. But I give him credit, though. I give him credit for this, Dave. At least he stepped up after it and said, you know what? It was the wrong call. I messed up. How many people in that situation will double down on their decision?
That's right. What did he do, Rick?
He was culpable in that situation.
Nice. He was culpable.
A mea culpa. All right,
oh, that's another good one. That's another good one.
You like that one?
That was a really good one, yeah.
Good. I got it from KJZ. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. One more, and then we'll get into the Charles Oakley story. John in Valley Stream. Good morning, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, John. How you doing, buddy?
oh, great, man. I'm glad to hear your beautiful
the enthusiasm,
morning.
Right, John?
So excited.
Yeah, I got a solution. I got a solution for this, like, this bickering and this animosity between all the shows. What if you guys, like, met at the Seaport every show and just did, like, a full-blown, like, Anchorman-style rumble and just kind of settle it once and for all? You know, like, Dave would try to throw into the
Because I think that would actually happen, John. I think Dave is capable of killing somebody.
I think he loves a lamp. But anyway, what I wanted to say is, you know, I flipped on the Met game, you know, and I watched that play, and I didn't see anything at all what Conforto did, like, you know, until you watched the replay. So, like, in real time, you know, it didn't look like he leaned into the pitch. It kind of, when I saw it, it looked like he got fooled by the pitch and it clipped him on the elbow. And then, you know, my question is, like, how, you know, in real time, I mean, I know we're, everybody's ultimately blaming the ump, and I'm a Yankee fan. A win's a win. You know, look, good for you guys. You know, good for the Mets. But I don't, like, what is, how can you watch, like, three things at once? You know what I mean? I didn't see Conforto lean in until they showed the replay, like, four or five times.
Yeah, but here, but John, here's the issue. John, yeah, but John, here's the issue, though. I mean, it, in the rule book, it says that if the pitch is called a strike and you're hit with it, it's still a strike.
Mm-hmm.
So his initial thought was it's a strike. I mean, that was strike three for the umpire. He was punching him out. He was going full Enrico. He was going full Enrico Palazzo. And then when Conforto reacted to, hey, point at his elbow pad, then he said, okay, take the base. And again, I'll go back to my only thought is that in that moment, he thought that the reason why the pitch was a strike was because it glanced off Conforto's elbow into the strike zone. That would be the only thing that makes sense. Because by letter of the law, if that's a strike and you get hit with it, it's still a strike.
Correct.
Still strike three.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know, Rico. I know you're trying to give him the benefit of the doubt and trying to, you know, get inside his mind, but that was all bad from him. He's got to be better. That's an absolutely ridiculous call. Almost as ridiculous as Kevin Pillar's push bunt.
but it's not even I'm trying to get into his mind. That's the only thing it can be. Because in the rule book it says if the pitch is a strike and you're hit with it, it is a strike. That is not a hit by a pitch. That's a strike.
That's correct. They messed up. They messed up royally. The Mets benefited. There's going to be times where it works against them. Yesterday was not one of those times. All right. So I don't know if we thought that things were smoothed over, or maybe not, with Charles Oakley and James Dolan and Oakley against Madison Square Garden. But clearly the answer now is they are not. So Oakley was on the Posecast with James Posey, which is not the best name, but regardless of that.
come on, Dave.
Come on.
Stall him out, man.
The Posecast?
Yeah, if that's what he wants to name his podcast, let him be.
He can't name it that, but I think we can also critique that that's not a great name.
All right, Dave. Just get to the point, Dave. Get to the point.
Thank you, Rick.
There's so many things you could do with that, though. Like something with posing. Like there's plenty of things you can do. The Posecast?
It's a terrible name for a podcast.
It's not great.
No, it's not great at all. But the conversation is, here is Charles Oakley on the aforementioned Posecast. He said he was offered and turned down a jersey retirement with the Garden.
They came to me and said that we want to retire your jersey and do this and do that. And I'm like, nah, I ain't going to. You can't buy me that easy. If you tie the jersey, but that's benefiting you. That ain't benefiting me. You know, if you want to, you know, put it outside with the flag and people don't have to pay to come in and see it, let them ride past and see it. Let it be a tourist spot. You know what I'm saying? So
right. That's
how I feel about it, man. You know, man, it was wrong, man. We in court right now about the same thing. He's trying to say this and that. He lied. That's the thing about he lied too, man. He's going to. It's going to be tough for me to go back in there. I told him, you know, I ain't the one. You buy me. My name might be on half, 3% on the deal and the 4%. So you ain't going to just buy me for no little, you know, little peas and rice. No, you ain't going to get me like that.
Wow. So Oakley's still livid about what happened and refuses a jersey retirement, which will be a fun day for Charles Oakley.
Yeah, but I guess when your son's going to have his jersey retired in multiple...
Come on, man. Stop it. You can't keep doing that. You can't keep pushing that, man. The timeline does work, though, Rico.
It does.
The timeline does work. Where did he play his college ball?
Well, hello. No, but here's the thing, though, Dave. I understand what he's saying. And the whole situation was a bad look, I think, for both parties. I mean,
Did you realize he was still so angry, though?
Well, I mean, this is still something that's going on. This is an ongoing issue with them. Like, this is still, I mean, you heard what he said in the Posecast, which actually, I just found out, Alan and Bart will be doing a podcast called The Posecast.
Yes, and that starts tomorrow morning. Yep.
It's going to drop tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
I listen, I understand what he's saying, and he's still hurt by the whole thing and everything else. But to have your jersey retired, that's a huge deal. Like, you can still be mad at James Dolan and the Knicks. But to have the honor of having your jersey retired?
Listen, have your jersey retired. You don't have to grab the microphone when you address the crowd at the Garden and thank James Dolan, right? You don't have to do that. But that's quite the honor to say you don't want any part of.
Yeah, I don't understand that, Dave, and I don't think Charles Oakley is keeping it a buck. Because here's the thing, when he's retiring his jersey and he's putting it up in the rafters, that's not for James Dolan, although it does help James Dolan with the public relations and trying to make sure that he maintains good relationships with current and former Knicks. But that's about Charles Oakley. Like, people go into Madison Square Garden, they'll have the opportunity to look up and see Charles Oakley's jersey, who has always been a fan favorite. To me, like, you're cutting your nose off to spite your face. Like, this is one of those things, this is one of those honors that as a player you can't turn down. Because as Rick always talks about, every former athlete wants a home. And whether he wants to admit this or not, Charles Oakley's home should be Madison Square Garden. And I know he has issues with the owner, and they might have had their, you know, their confrontation in the past, but you got to put that aside and embrace the fact that they're going to immortalize you in that building. I don't understand why he's turning that down. That's absolutely ridiculous.
If going to the Coliseum and taunting the owner got my number retired, I would do it tomorrow.
That's what you would do. That's what's been missing. That's it.
This should be interesting. Joe in Brooklyn has an issue with you, Rick. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm excellent. And yourselves?
I'm intrigued by what it says you're bringing to the table right now.
Well, so one, I just want to say you guys are phenomenal. Look, I commute from Rockland County to Brooklyn every morning, and I leave at 5 o'clock, so you guys are my ride in.
How long does that take?
So I appreciate you guys being in the morning. About an hour, 15, hour and a half, depending on traffic.
Joe, how do you feel about pagers, Joe? Joe, would you be interested in wearing a pager-type device?
A pager?
A pager-type device, not a pager. I'll pay you about $5.
Pager-type device.
What do you got, Joe? Rip me apart, Joe. What do we got going here?
Real quick. Well, Rick, this is the thing. I mean, you're clowning on, the boys are stealing all your material, but your little culpable joke came from your boyfriend, Michael Kay, yesterday afternoon on the radio. So, you're sitting here clowning on those
Joe,
guys,
I swear to God.
Did not know that.
Hey.
I swear to God, I did not hear that yesterday.
Now, Rick, I promise you.
Hard for me to believe that, Rick. As close as you guys are, I thought maybe he texted you for approval. I don't know.
Joe, it is difficult for us to believe. Rick, you have claimed you have the show on nonstop. You're always listening. You're always watching. You tweet the show constantly. Kay said it. We know how you feel about him. We know the uncomfortable relationship between the two of you. How can we believe that you didn't hear it on the show and bring it to our show?
Well, the Mets game was on, so I was watching the Mets game, and I promise you, I'm sitting here in my spaghetti tank. I would hand to God. I promise you I did not hear that. And of all the people's material I wouldn't steal, Michael Kay would be at the top of the list. Or I would credit Michael Kay for saying it. We all know that.
I believe that to be true, actually. I'm going to defend you. You wouldn't defend me. You would attack me. You would be nasty in your vitriolic attack of me, but I'm going to defend you here. I believe that you didn't hear it on the Kay show and that you're being genuine.
Yeah, I'm going to give our guy the benefit of the doubt, Dave, but I will say this is a very troubling coincidence.
It is a
very
slippery
troubling
slope.
Yeah.
Maybe you loved it, and here's what happens. You loved it so much that you just took it on as your own. You and Michael have this bizarre relationship that you heard it. You're like, I like that. I'll take it. And you forgot it was his originally.
No, I promise I did not hear him say it. And plus, I was also on hold yesterday for a while on the K show, so I probably didn't. I wasn't really paying attention to what was going on.
Were you on hold as yourself, or did you use a pseudonym?
No, I was Richard and Elizabeth.
Did you get on the air?
I didn't. I had to finally, like, the kids wanted to go outside, so I had to just say, I can't do this right now.
You know what's amazing? You always say, I have no time. I don't have a minute for myself. It's why I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and work out. Yet you have enough time to wait on hold for an extended period of time as Richard and Elizabeth?
Yeah, but I'm not sitting there on the phone. I have the phone on, like, it's on speakerphone as I'm on hold, and I'm still doing stuff. I'm not just sitting there with the phone in my ear. I think yesterday was the perfect opportunity to get Don into, like, a full-blown rant, and I was going to seize the opportunity, and it just took too long. I didn't have enough time.
So you wanted to push Don's buttons?
Yeah, like, Don was on the verge of having a nervous breakdown. Like, he had
another one?
Another one? One caller called in, like, went the whole Yankee boy route, and then Don went like kind of crazy, and then I was just going to give him that push over the
you were going to nudge him
over the edge. Yeah, I was going to actually. I was going to be like, "Oh, Michael, I understand. I mean, you're so handsome and everything, but Don, you're a fraud. You don't even like the Mets."
I mean, Rico, it's he's every committed other his day life to
the
Don
game
now.
Of baseball. For God's sakes, give the guy some credit.
You're on, smoking guys. Bowls, man. You're smoking out of an apple.
Did you hear the other day when Don admitted that he dropped acid?
Yes.
And then it sounded like he followed that up with in meth.
Wait, he meth?
No, he didn't. No, it sounded like it when he said it. He's like, I dropped acid in meth. It sounded like the next word that came out was meth.
You're high right now, right? You have to be.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Whoa. Don feels like he's getting angrier. Like, usually
I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
Oh, my God. See?
Does not sound like he said that I've taken meth?
I've dropped like acid. That. I've taken meth.
Oh, my God.
No, he did say he's taken meth. Ray, one more time.
I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
Oh, my God.
He did. It's not like he did. It didn't sound like he did. What do you mean you thought you might have? It sounded like he said it. He said, I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
No, if you take that clip, that's what he said, but that's not what he meant. He explains it after that. That's not what he meant.
What do you mean it's not what he meant?
How
can you say I've taken meth and not have meant it?
Yeah.
Because I think he was going meth, like it was M-E-S-K, but it came out as, I don't know what the word he was trying to say, but it came out as meth. Maybe it was a slip, and then he realized what he said. He's like, nah, I probably shouldn't admit that.
Oh, my God.
I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
Oh, my God.
I love Michael could not be. I mean, Michael felt like he was betrayed. Like, Michael.
Look at what has happened.
So upset.
Oh, man.
You think you know a guy that worked together forever. I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
Oh, look at what has happened.
Wow.
It's just a party with Don LaGreca, isn't it?
It really is. All right. Man. That's Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk. No contract, no compromise. Gosh.
That is really Straight Talk.
That you're giving us everything. Too much.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Apparently, let me hear the drop one more time because people are lining up to say that that's not what Don said.
I've dropped acid. I've taken meth.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, he said, I've taken mesk, which I'm not familiar with, but I guess is mescaline, which is another form of acid.
No, it's like LSD. It's peyote.
Oh, how do you know this?
Exactly. That's a great question.
Because I'm looking at the definition of it right now.
Uh-huh.
So other names for it is, I mean, I've heard someone say that I've taken peyote before.
Yes, I've heard of that. I've never heard of mesk. And furthermore, if it sounds like meth, and it's preceded by acid, I'm just going to put together the context and say that that's probably meth.
Yeah, we had a guy in Winthrop that decided it was a good idea to play basketball with acid in his sock, not realizing that because he was sweating playing basketball, that all the acid would seep into his system.
Oh, no. So he was he playing like a wild man?
He was in
man
the zone, the wasn't game? He, Rico?
No, he went
was
crazy.
In the zone.
No, he went crazy,
through
dude.
The gated fence?
No, he had like a real bad reaction to it because, I mean, it was like it was way too much. And he
overheated?
He all of a sudden thought he was an orange.
Oh, wow. That's not good.
Did he tell you?
No, he was trying to peel his skin off. He legitimately thought he was an orange. They call him the orange. They were calling him the orange peel man. Like, he had real problems with it.
All right, people want to talk about this. Let's go to Al in Holbrook. Al, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, boys. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Al. How you doing?
Right. I'm all right. Listen, I'm in the minority on this, but I think James Dolan is a good owner. And I think Charles Oakley could kick rocks. And this is why I feel this way. I feel like James Dolan is only guilty of hiring the wrong presidents, GMs, to run the business as far as on the Knicks side. And but you want that kind of owner who's going to spend the money. I would rather have that owner than the owner who's tight to the vest with his money. And if you come in my house and you wear an F. Al t-shirt, you have to leave. If you come in my house and you drink too much and get belligerent, I don't care if you used to work for me, you have to leave. You know what I'm saying? This is my house. You know, my rules. And I feel like people, I think the average Knicks fan, I think with their emotions, because we've seen Charles Oakley through the 80s and 90s, and he was such a heart and soul of the Knicks, but that doesn't change the fact of what's happening today. You know, and I just feel like I think James Dolan, I know I'm in the minority, but I think he gets a bad rap for taking care of his own house. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. I think differently, I guess.
You do. I think most people would vehemently disagree with you. And that was Al Dolan, by the way, Colin. Thank you, Al.
James Dolan does spend money. I think the interesting part about James Dolan is he owns the Knicks and the Rangers. And the Rangers have had tons of success and the Knicks haven't. And it's because he hired the right people with the Rangers, stepped back, let them take care of the hockey business, and that team has had success. The Knicks, hasn't been the case.
No. It almost in some bizarre world makes it worse that you're willing to spend so much money and you still can't put anything close to a winner out on the court.
I don't know if it makes it worse. I appreciate the fact he's willing to spend whatever it takes.
Yeah, but yeah. You will spend any amount of money to win, and you can't even come close to winning. That's how dysfunctional they are.
Well, it feels like they're more functional now. They're getting turned in the right direction.
But like the Royals, you're like, well, they're the Royals. They don't have the same advantages as other teams, so that's why they stink. The Knicks can do whatever they want, and they still can't get out of their own way, or haven't been able to until seemingly now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a decade of futility, Dave. But it seems like they're moving in the right direction.
Sure.
Got the right trajectory, so.
Yep, sure does. Guests on DCR PRV, the Goodyear Hotline, Paul Feinbaum at 7:35 this morning. Omar in Manhattan, good morning, Omar.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
We're good.
Oh, all right, so I wanted to correct Rick on the mescaline. What it is, it's spelled M-E-S. C-A-L-I-N-E. So I think Don was about to say mescaline, which is another form of LSD, which Chris said he never heard of it before, but there's a lot of it running around in the Bronx of New York. So I just wanted to put that in.
All right.
We appreciate the breakdown. Thank you.
Well, there we have it. A narcotics agent calling the show.
Yeah. So mesk, acid, meth. I mean, really? Are we going to?
So, I mean, Don
that?
Had wild days. I'm learning that Don was a wild man in his younger days. Let's hear it again and listen for mesk. Go ahead, Ray.
I've dropped acid. I've taken mesk.
Oh my god!
Michael's so upset with Don.
Michael's reaction is priceless.
Oh my god! Let's you know go what that Chris,
Dave, you know what that reminds me of is remember we talked about that with the. The newlywed game, when they asked her where the most uncomfortable place she's.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love that one.
That's like one of those ones place. Like you got to make something else up. Even if that's the case, you got to make something up.
Let's quickly go to Chris in Queens. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, guys. First time caller. First of all, Kenny, thanks for the memories, man. You're one of my heroes.
My man.
And absolutely. But yeah, mescaline is derived from a cactus. The Native Americans used it. And it's at least you got to give Don the benefit of the doubt. It's not made by the United States government.
Well, that's
he was doing something at least organic.
So it's a natural drug. Is that what we're being led to believe here?
Yeah, no, it occurs naturally in the peyote cactus. It's that's when you hear someone say that they took peyote. It's this.
Mm. Gotcha.
So do they have 11 championships to show you when they talk about that?
Yeah, I'm sure he's tried it.
Oh, we know he has. So it's different than acid. Like acid and mesk or peyote are two different things, right?
Two different things.
Okay. So Don has dabbled in that world a lot.
Of a hallucinogenic.
He said dabbled. He's dabbled, Dave.
He's dabbled.
Oh my god.
Oh, boy.
Michael's that so upset, so disappointed.
Oh my god!
Don had that moment. I'll just tell you anything.
Yeah, whatever you want. We're in the trust tree in the nest.
When keeping it real goes all the way wrong.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
How long did it take you to write up your questions for getting to know your co-hosts?
You want me to tell you the truth or you want me to lie?
I'd prefer the truth.
Can we go over under, Dave? Let's go over under.
Yeah, let's go over under. I like it, Chris. Yeah. I'm going to say it took you 2 hours and 11 minutes.
Wow. I'm going to go with, I'm going to be aggressive. I think it's more 245. I'm going to go 245.
Okay.
You guys really think I'm that crazy?
Yes. Yes.
Alarm, stove, refrigerator, freezer. Good point. Dave, you were the closest. It took me just over 2 hours.
Oh, just so wait, what do you mean we think you're that crazy? You just defined it that you are. Two what?
Yeah, but you guys both went over. I mean, it's you guys would have both lost. It was like 2-0, because I knew you'd ask me this question. It took me like 2 hours and 7 minutes.
The fact that it took you multiple hours is insane to me.
Chris, what does it take you to write up the questions? 4 minutes? 6 minutes?
Yeah, it probably took me about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 hours and 6 minutes?
2-7, yeah. 2-0-7.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And how many people were involved in the questions?
The whole family, except Rocco can't speak. So,
right. Yeah. I'm sure you turn to him. Rocco, do me a favor.
Nod. Yeah. Blink.
Yeah, do something.
Crawl to the question you like the best. Crawl to the question you like the best.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, let's go with these really beautifully crafted questions, Scott.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is... oh, my God.
All right, here we go, fellas.
Here we go.
Get to know your co-host on this beautiful The Friday.
What's the scoring system, by the way, RJ? Do you have the updated standings?
I do. So, last week, as you'll remember, Chris beat Rick. Chris has dominated.
Yes.
In this game. Chris has 4 victories. There have been 7 weeks, and Chris has obviously done 2 of them. So, he's only been beaten once. Dave, you have a win and some losses that I won't name. And Rick has 2 wins, but obviously Rick is the subject this week.
So if I were to win today, I would tie Rick.
You would. Now, Vegas has you. This is David versus Goliath. Literally, David, that's you versus Goliath.
I'm going to give it everything I have. All right, let's go.
That's all I can ask. Here we go. First question. I was born where? A, Boston. B, Chicago. Or C, Maine. A, Boston.
Oh, crap.
B, Chicago. C, Maine.
Chris, you know this?
Yep.
There's no doubt you have this one correct.
Yes.
Oh, God. Ugh.
You don't listen to us, Dave.
No, you know what it is? I think I know the answer, but now I'm doing the outsmarting myself because now he's giving me other options.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Totally torn here. All right, go ahead.
You want some mescaline? Maybe that'll help.
Yeah. You know how pathetic I am?
God.
I'm going to tell you. And you're a chef, so I think you might even agree. I thought mescaline was a salad.
Well, spelled differently, yeah. No, mescaline salad. Yeah, you're
right.
That's mescaline's a salad.
Oh, okay. All right. But that's just
spelled completely different, though.
Don goes to a restaurant. They're like, would you like the mescaline? He's like, yes, I would.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
How'd you know I like that?
Yeah.
This is my kind of place.
Yeah, that's right. I'm glad I realized we were going here. So I would.
Get some wings
and some hashish with it as well, please.
Some wings and some LSD. I like this place.
Yes. Must be in the Bronx.
Oh,
all right, here we go. Question number 2. My favorite jet of all time is A. Curtis Martin. B. Darrell Revis. C. Chad Pennington. A. Curtis Martin. B. Darrell Revis. C. Chad Pennington.
Got that on lockdown. Lockdown.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So all right, here we go. Question
salad there.
Okay. Question number 3. My favorite sexual position is...
Oh, come on. You can't ask that question.
Why not?
Well, first of all, you not interested with the kids?
No, this was not a question that I asked the kids.
How did you possibly think this was okay?
I'm not. You think I really have that question written down?
No.
So
no,
you were expecting this reaction?
Of course.
All right.
All right. Here we go. The position in baseball that I always wanted to play, and the coach would never let me play it: A, second base. B, shortstop. C, catcher. A, second base. B, shortstop. C, catcher.
Okay. All right.
Chris, you good?
Yep.
I don't know how my dad feel like this, but this is a very stressful segment.
I love how my dad is texting me in answers to the question of where I was born. Thanks, Dad.
Well, at least he's listening.
It's like as if I was asking the questions. Like, could you guys tell me where I was born? Because I don't
would
know.
I think he was probably there, right?
All right, here we go.
Yes.
I once made Aaron Rodgers the best blank he's ever ate, the best meatballs he's ever eaten, the best chicken parm he's ever eaten, or the best steak and eggs he's ever eaten.
Okay.
A, meatballs, B, yep. chicken parm, C, steak and eggs.
All right. How many meals have you had with Aaron Rodgers, by the way?
A couple.
Okay.
You guys good?
I'm ready to go. This is it. The fifth and final question, right?
Fifth and final question.
Now, if in fact we've tied after five, do you have a tiebreaker ready to go?
Yeah, the positions one was the tiebreaker.
Okay. All right.
The answer was oil drill, if you're wondering. Oil drill.
I knew that one.
What is wrong
highly difficult.
With you?
Very dangerous. Very dangerous.
I had the reverse cowboy.
That's also dangerous. I actually had a buddy. Okay. I had a buddy break something doing that.
Yes, that can happen.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yes, Michael has that reaction.
Now
often.
Now he's got a curve in it.
Oh my god.
His pool stick. Let's continue.
All right, here we go. The first radio show I ever drove, my co-host was A. Alan Hahn, B. Dan Graziano, or C. Antoine Walker. A. Alan Hahn, B. Dan Graziano, C. Antoine Walker.
All right. Chris, how you feeling?
I'm feeling very confident, Dave.
You think you went 5 for 5?
Yes.
Wow. We've never had the perfect 5 for 5 score, by the way.
Yes.
All right. Let's revisit. Let's go.
All right. Who's up first? Dave, you're up first?
Sure.
All right. Here we go. I was born where? Boston, Massachusetts, Chicago, or Maine? What'd you go with, Dave?
How come Boston is Massachusetts and the others don't only get cities and states?
Massachusetts, Boston, whatever.
All right. I'm going to go. What was Maine?
You going Maine?
Was that C?
That was C, yeah.
I'm going Maine, C, yes.
Christopher Canty?
The same, C, Maine.
You guys are correct.
Nice!
That is correct.
I thought it was Maine, and then I got bamboozled, but I'm glad I went back there. Okay, good.
All right, one for one you guys are.
Yes.
My favorite Jet, Chris, you're up first. My favorite Jet was Curtis Martin, Darrell Revis, or Chad Pennington?
It is C, Chad Pennington.
David?
The only concern I had was that you were going to throw in Wayne Krabet, but I'm glad he wasn't there. But I agree. It is C, Chad Pennington.
Correct. Golf with Chad Pennington. The reason why I'm a Jets fan, Chad Pennington.
So he's to blame.
He wanted to open up a Cracker Barrel. He probably should have done that. Loves Cracker Barrel. Position in baseball, I wanted to play, but the coach would never let me play it. You got second base, shortstop, or catcher. Second base, shortstop, or catcher. David, you're up first.
I know it's not second base. I'm a little torn between shortstop and catcher. I'm going to go with my gut. Shortstop.
Christopher?
Catcher. C.
Dave actually looks like he's caught before. Dave, you are correct. It is shortstop. Canty, you
yes!
are wrong.
Yes! 3-0!
I'm a lefty, so they weren't going to let me catch, but they knew I was a goalie in hockey, so they let me catch, would not let me play shortstop.
This is so good. This is so good. Can't we play the mini version and be done now?
No. You got two more. Here we go. I made Aaron Rodgers the best what he's ever eaten. A, meatballs, B, chicken parm, C, steak and eggs. Christopher Canty.
Scotch and
steak and eggs.
A little bit.
Steak and eggs. Dave Rothenberg.
Clear, easy, didn't even need these selections. C, steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs. Dave Rothenberg.
4-0.
Correct.
I think Dave's going to go 5-0 because I think he knows this last one. Dave, you're up
first. I know what happened right before the show. I know the topic that you had to dive into. I am very excited right now. Continue.
If you get this wrong, this is going to be embarrassing for you.
It's true.
I have confidence. The first show I ever drove, my co-host was Alan Hahn, Dan Graziano, or Antoine Walker. David for the win.
All right. Chris, you're hoping I go Alan Hahn. Chris, you're hoping I go Antoine Walker. Sorry. Dan Graziano, whose number I currently possess.
Christopher Canty.
See Antoine Walker.
Dave Rothenberg.
Yes!
The first 5-0 in the history of Get to Know Your Coach.
Yes!
Congratulations.
Yes!
Damn it! Damn it!
Yes, 5-0.
Rico, the one freaking question, the position at baseball question. You screwed me, Rico. You screwed me.
Yeah, but see, I think you would have not.
Rothenberg win.
I didn't want him to win. Do anything.
You let Rothenberg win.
Give me credit. I went undefeated.
Let Rothenberg win.
I'm the 72 Dolphins. I mean, that was sensational what I just did.
Okay, congratulations, Dave. Look at the standings, by the way.
Oh,
see, look at the standings.
Brett.
Wow.
Look at the standings.
So you can't give me credit. You can't put out your hand, extend your hand, and say, you know what, congratulations, you bested me today. I'm still winning, but you bested me today. You got to be nasty about it?
Yeah, I'm going to be nasty about it, Dave. I'm going to be nasty about it. I'm going to choose to be nasty about it. Just like every other fan around baseball except for the Mets fan. I'm going to be nasty about your win today, just like all the other baseball fans except Mets fans were nasty about the Mets win yesterday. Well, that's how I'm going to be with you.
But, Chris, look on the bright side. Coming up on ABC, you get to play get to know your co-host again.
That's right. Maybe I'm the 72 Dolphins. Maybe you get the same questions asked to you in just a couple of minutes.
Can't wait.
All right, Chris. Well, on that note, take the L. Enjoy KJZ. Enjoy CMT.
You disgust me, Dave Rothenberg. I'm getting out of here. You disgust me.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
Have a terrible weekend, Dave.
Oh, thanks very much.
Yes.
Wow. He didn't take that very well.
Oh, he was so confident.
I know. How about 5-0? Come on. You got to be a little proud of me right now.
No, I'm real proud. I am
5-0.
Really proud. There was a couple there I threw in that I thought would trip you up. I thought the first question where I was born would trip you up a little bit.
It almost did.
And then I thought maybe, and I was going, I actually asked the guys before the show which Jedi could throw in that maybe would confuse you. Because I know I've told the Chad Pennington thing a couple times.
Yep.
But,
and you said that's why you've become a Jets fan. But I for some reason, I thought you loved Krabet also. So that was giving me a little pause. But he wasn't in there, so I knew that was right. I knew. I was confident. But that was sensational. I'm very, very happy.
I'm impressed with me because most people don't know that.
I'm the 72 Dolphins.
Yeah, that was well done.
Let's go to Steve in Chappaqua. Steve, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Guys, the show is the greatest. Dave, you're the best every man. You're the typical sports fan. Rick, I feel like you're the behind the scenes of a real jock and everything. And Panty is the grown-up in the room. The three of you mesh perfectly.
Did you hear how he just reacted when I beat him and getting to know your co-host? He's the grown-up in the room?
You did a great job. But I have to call you out for one thing in terms of stealing stuff from other shows. I think the Did It Happen in Florida came from who's that guy that used to have the morning show? Damer, Gordon Damer.
Gordon Damer originally did It Happen
extra,
in Florida?
Extra. And it was all that Florida-type crazy stuff. I think that's where that came from.
Oh. No, that's not where that came from. That is not where that came from, Steve. That came from the fact that crazy stuff happens in Florida, and my wife is from Florida. The impetus for that segment was I was in Florida driving with my wife, and we looked over to our left, and there was a guy in a...
Weeping. Just tears.
No, that was me weeping.
Oh, right. That was
I was crying because Kelly Clarkson was on, but we looked over, and as I wiped away the tears, I looked over, and on the sidewalk was a guy driving an electric scooter, like an old person scooter, with his girlfriend or wife on his lap, pulling the baby in the baby carriage. And I looked at her, I said, only in Florida do you see this.
It's true. Only in Florida would you see anything like that. And now the stories that we found are absolutely outrageous. All right, so let's get to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Did you see this Trevor Bauer story, by the way? That they, I guess, collected a bunch of the baseballs that he used the other day, and they're going to put them back to the league office to see if they're doctored and there's cheating going on?
Yeah, I mean, his stuff is filthy. I think the biggest thing, though, is how do you... I mean, this is more like they're collecting data.
Well, how do you prove that he did that anyway?
Well, it depends on what the substance is. Like, and if the substance that they're using is increasing the spin rate. If it's less about the grip on the baseball and it's more about increasing...
Right, but even so, even if there's a foreign substance on it, how do you prove that he put it on?
Yeah, but that's I don't know. And I think that's been, with the people that you ask in baseball, that's been the biggest issue with this new rule, is how do you enforce it? How are you enforcing this rule? I think they're just collecting collecting data. Like, remember, it's like when they did the anonymous, what was supposed to be anonymous drug testing.
Sure.
Like, we just want to see how many guys in the league are using it and what they're using. I think that's what they're trying to find out. But I think if you ask, listen, if you ask any position player that's going to go up there and hit, and the guy's throwing, you know, 98, 99, 100 in this kind of weather, him having a grip on the ball is a good thing. Like, let's make sure you have a grip on the baseball. And they all do it.
They all do it.
They
he's
all
so,
do it.
He's so, listen, he's great. He really is. But he, oh, God, there's, like, I'm so polar opposite in belief with him. Like, there's times I'm like, God, I really wish the Mets would have got him. He's so good. Then you watch David Peterson, you're like, we really missed out. But there's times when he, God, he is really difficult to root for sometimes.
He puts himself out there, man. I mean, he, listen, he's not shy about it either.
No. He's the definition everything. Of polarizing, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's posting everything. He's filming himself. I mean, you're getting a chance to see all of it. And that's, I mean, that's dangerous, especially in New York. Because if you pitch great, the people will love you. And when you don't, they're going to be all over you.
He's so good, though. He's got such great stuff. Guests on DCRP via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's go to Asher in the car. Asher, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
What's going on, Asher?
Good. Just a quick point. I wanted to know what your thoughts were. I haven't done like a deep dive analysis of this since the baseball season started, but I get the impression that road teams seem to have an advantage with the new extra inning rule, because if they end up scoring, they put all the pressure back on the home team. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, they have the advantage if they score. If they don't,
and if they don't score, then where's the advantage go to?
To the home team.
Right. I don't think there's an advantage. I mean, it's the same exact thing. But if you score a run, and you're up, you know, whatever, 4-3, the other team has to just match that. And they should, in theory, be able to with starting with a runner on second base. To really put yourself in good standing and to feel good about it, you have to score two runs in the top of the inning.
Yeah, the nature of the new rule is there's going to be pressure on both. I mean, there's pressure naturally because there's a runner on second base with no outs. I think it changes how, like, if the home team holds the visiting team scoreless in the top of the 10th, I think it could change the approach going into the bottom half. Like, I think you now start to consider maybe I'm going to be more willing to bunt here.
Absolutely. You give me a guy in third with one out.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it changes a little bit. But I just, as far as that rule's concerned, I hate it.
It's awful. Well, also, you know what? If you don't score in the top of the inning and then you take the mound in the bottom of the inning, you might walk the first batter, right, to set up the double play. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do.
There's strategy involved, but I don't.
There is strategy, but I detest it. I don't, and you know what else I hate as well? The 7-inning doubleheader. I can't stand that either.
Yeah, but as a Mets fan with our bullpen,
well, I'm not saying that it won't play to some certain team's advantage, but I don't like the rule. I don't like that the game has changed that dramatically.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I hate both rules. Like, I understand the seven inning doubleheaders. I get why they're doing it. But as far as to a certain degree, I understand why they would do this new extra innings rule. I just don't understand why it has to be in the 10th inning.
That's the thing. If you told me you're going to do that in the
12th.
In the 12th inning, I was going to say, I could say, okay, you know what? They don't want these games to go 17 innings. You probably end it after 12, maybe 13. But to start in the 10th inning, it's just it's horrendous. And if you have a really good bullpen, I think it's a tremendous disadvantage for you.
If I was a Yankees fan who have consistently come out on the wrong end of these things to start the season, yeah, I would be pissed with this rule. One of your biggest strengths is your bullpen has been awesome.
That's right.
And because now, I mean, you have someone starting off on second in the 10th inning, I don't care how good your bullpen is, now you're at risk.
How many hours before a game does a lineup typically come out? 2 hours, 3 hours, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so by about noon, 1 o'clock today, we should have our answer on Aaron Judge, right?
Well, it's an afternoon game today, isn't it?
Right, what's a 3 o'clock game? That's what I'm saying. So like noon, 1 o'clock, we should have our answer if Aaron Judge is you know, if there is real reason for concern with
this. Oh, my God!
I want to say before that, what time do they usually announce the lineup? Because Kay does the lineup on the Kay show.
But they don't do it. I mean, for a 7 o'clock game, they don't do it in the 4 o'clock hour.
I think they might.
In the 4 o'clock hour?
I think they might. RJ would know because he worked on that show. I think it's fairly early. I think it's almost 4 hours before the game, I want to say.
RJ, what do you think? You think noon is in the sweet spot of when we'll find out?
I think noon's a good barometer.
I'm going to look it up right now.
You're going to look up when lineups come out?
You can look up anything.
You can look up absolutely anything, except where, in fact, was Rick DiPietro born. Is that in your Wikipedia?
I don't even know. I don't look at my Wikipedia. I try to avoid all that stuff.
Let's go to Mike in Toms River. Mike, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Undefeated in getting to know your co-host today.
I actually don't mind adding a runner to second base. I think it does add a little bit of extra strategy, but I can't think of one good reason why it has to start as soon as extra inning starts. Why not the 11th, 12th inning or something like that?
Because they want to get the games over with. They don't want to overextend their bullpens. And now all of a sudden, I mean, depending on how game, like if this rule didn't exist, how long the game lasts, now all of a sudden you're going to have to manipulate your roster. Guys are going to have to be sent down. You have to bring new arms up. I mean, those are the things that they're worried about.
They're worried about everything, but I mean, you dramatically change the rules of a game that's been in place for 100+ years,
and yet you can't come to a decision on the DH,
and you can't figure out a way to make a guy that literally puts his elbow right down the middle of the strike zone takes a hit by pitch, and you can't overturn that.
That's the amazing part too. Is I mean, we sit there and it takes however long for the manager, because he's going to watch the actual, going to have someone that's going to watch the replay, whether or not they're going to challenge it. They finally challenge it. And then it's like, okay, did Gleyber Torres's foot come a quarter of an inch off second base? And we're going to break that down on replay for like 3 minutes. Oh, look, you can see it just came off the base with the tag on. He's out, which is ridiculous.
Right, the neighborhood play is completely out the window now.
Yeah, but the one play, like last night, I mean, yesterday was the plays that really actually matter, which cost a team a game, is the ones that, you know, our hands are tied. All we can review is whether or not the ball hit him.
There's nothing we can do. Yep. We'd love to change it, but unfortunately we can't. I'm sure Culpa would have been desperate. Can we please figure out a way to use the replay appropriately and change it? But they won't do it, and they should, and it's a problem.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.